We're going to talk to Denise Resnick. She's VP of Strategic Partners at the open innovation company, Nine Sigma. Nine Sigma is one of those companies that does crowdsourcing of ideas. If your company had an innovation challenge and you wanted to look outside the company for answers, then you could go to Nine Sigma, and there's a number of other companies in this space, and get their help finding answers. That's a tricky process, and we're going to learn from Denise what works and what doesn't work for making that happen.
Nine Sigma was actually founded in the year 2000, before the term open innovation even existed. So we're the granddaddy in an area that has obviously become much more popular over the past 15 years. When Nine Sigma got started, the term open innovation, crowdsourcing, you know, terminology that's very much a part of our language today didn't even exist. And so Nine Sigma's vision was to connect university research or inventor research with large corporations and create some kind of a matchmaking. So if we fast forward to today, we have tremendous tools via the internet in order to activate a global innovation community and motivate them to respond against challenges that are presented by oftentimes large corporations.
And, you know, I've heard a number of stories like this where the best answer came from outside a company's traditional supply base, even outside the industry. You know, one of the more famous examples, at least the one I've heard a lot about, is the one that happened 20 years ago for Goldcorp, the gold mining company, where they did an open innovation process that where they had a gold mine that was actually not making money, and they did a search for ideas on where to dig for gold. They got all kinds of suggestions, but the best solution actually came from outside the mining industry. Is that common?
Yes, and in fact, that is the core of Nine Sigma's work. So I can give you another example. We did work for a not-for-profit. This was the International AIDS Vaccine Initiative, otherwise known as IAVI. And so they're a nonprofit funded by the Gates Foundation and other charitable contributors. And they had focused on AIDS vaccine development for over 10 years. And one of their breakthrough discoveries was that they found that actually there are naturally occurring antibodies that neutralize proteins on the surface of the AIDS vaccine virus that essentially disarmed HIV, but those proteins were too unstable to be effectively targeted. And so our work with them was not to look for individuals who had been working on HIV research for decades, but instead we looked at protein specialists, none of which had ever been involved in HIV research before. And so it was a tremendous breakthrough. We brought them proposals from protein researchers globally, and they actually worked with two scientists who received over $875,000 in order to generate stable protein complexes. So again, going outside, a lot of times we bring blinders to our process where we assume a certain perspective. And by going outside of our industry or outside of the partners that we know, we're able to bring completely new perspectives.
I occasionally get calls from companies struggling with innovation, and one of the most common problems is when they've done an internal search for ideas, and I get a call like, you know, we did this, it was great, you know, we got lots of response and engagement, and we routed it to the managers responsible for the different departments. But universally, they came back with, most of this is junk. I don't have time to review this huge volume of ideas. This is a waste of time, and basically it goes nowhere. And the fact is, probably in there, among all that junk is, you know, among the 1,000 ideas, there's one good one. For every 1,000, there's one good one. Have you had that situation, and what did that company do wrong?
Sure. So one of the first things we do when we sit down with a company is we we help them to identify a core team. And that core team may be, it should always include an executive champion, so somebody who can clear the way if additional funds or some level of commitment is required. It should include somebody from the R&D team who is committed to doing the evaluation and the collaboration and development work with the ultimate provider. It should include somebody from product development or marketing, and also from the business side, who can contribute to what success looks like. And then we also like to include somebody from legal to make sure that they buy in at the beginning, because the worst case would be, you know, everybody's on board, you identify a really great partner, and then, you know, toss the deal to the lawyers and they kill it on, you know, fighting about intellectual property. So, again, having that cross-functional integrated team where everybody's bought into what you're looking for, what does success look like, what does a future collaboration look like, that is a really good way to avoid the scenario you've suggested. BASF did a really interesting thing. They had, as part of their OI 150 program, so they're celebrating their 150th anniversary, they made a commitment to launch some innovation programs. And they had a competition internally where R&D teams had to compete in order to be the ones selected to host their challenge in an open innovation environment. So that was a fantastic way to make sure that you had a really committed R&D team who not only was excited about the process, but they were committed to carrying it through.
So they had a competition for who gets to host the competition.
Exactly.
That's a great idea. Another issue that I'm sure comes up in your conversations with clients is what information gets communicated by a process like this. So I'll take an extreme example. Say if I'm Apple and I start doing an open innovation process around wrist-based fitness tracking technologies, you know, like hydration, pulse tracking, et cetera. Mm-hmm. That's going to send a huge message to a lot of different companies. How do you prevent that information from leaking out?
So I guess my question would be, who thinks that Apple is not doing that today?
Well, okay, but take another example for something. Sure, but take another example for something that Apple doesn't want to let out.
Right. Yeah, and so I like the first example because that comes up all the time. Like, who thinks that mining companies are not looking for corrosive materials or a chocolate that doesn't melt or longer shelf life? Or so there are tons of challenges that companies are facing that it's really no secret. So the question then is, what do you do when you have a challenge in an area that does really expose some kind of strategic objective? And so what we do with clients in that case is we try to reduce the technology to its most basic state. So it's totally separated from its application. So for example, at one point P&G was looking for, they were trying to develop a dry cleaner sheet that you could put into the dryer with your clothing that would allow your clothing to come out and not look wrinkled. So instead of describing that as something related to fibers or textiles, we described it in its most basic state, and the solution actually came from the electronics industry. So it was about reducing surface tension instead of talking specifically about textiles. So a lot of times we can camouflage what the application is just by talking about the basic technology or science that sits behind it. And that's also a really strong strategy for identifying people or technologies or new ideas that are coming from new areas.